Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate it. And before we even start, I'd like to say Merry Christmas. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas this week with your family and friends, remembering the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of things to talk about in the news here at the beginning, but at the end, and make sure you watch this till the end, I've got a couple stories about Christmas to share with you that I think, if you haven't heard them before, will be an encouragement to you and a blessing. There is always hope, no matter how dark things may seem or how uncertain the future, there is hope. And so we'll get into that toward the end. But thank you for being with us. How are you doing today, Joshua?
I'm doing great, Curtis, and thankful for Christmas, thankful for the Lord's goodness to us this year.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're going to start off by talking about the election, which is the big news, and a lot of different things going on still, but January 6th is kind of the big day where we'll find out if Congress is going to help us right the wrong, stand for the truth, and invalidate an election that was clearly so fraudulent. And so we'll see what happens on that day. President Trump, on a side note, has asked us to come to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. So I encourage you to do that. I think I'm planning to do that with my family. And I think if we could get a couple million people there where it was an incredible turnout, it would do a lot of things. One, it would show Congress that people do care about this issue and they're motivated, and maybe it would encourage them to do the right thing on that day. But even if they didn't, it's key because I think it will energize our president, who's probably getting discouraged that none of the courts and the Supreme Court and none of the departments of justice, no one will come to his aid. No one will even look into the possibility there was election fraud. And it's frustrating him. And I think if we were there to let him know we're behind you, it's going to energize him to keep then trying to do some of the other things that he could do if Congress fails to do what is right. So anyway, that's an action item. People are always asking me, what can we do? That's something, if possible, if you could be in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, I think it would be an encouragement to you to hear the president talk and other people there, but it would be an encouragement to him. He has been faithful to stand with us and for us, and I think it'd be a great way for us to return that favor. So we need to be prayerful about that. We also need to be writing our congressmen and senators, or emailing them or calling, about encouraging them to stand and to dispute the electoral votes coming in from the seven swing states. And that's another thing that we can do. But there's many things. There's the 2018 executive order that President Trump gave that gives them some options. Since there was foreign interference in this election, there's the Insurrection Act. There's several other legal things they're still pursuing. The media wants to make us feel that it's over completely. Anything he does is fraudulent. There's no case. There's no fraud. There's no anything. But of course, that's not true. So don't lose heart, but act where you can. And when you can't act anymore, then you pray that God will do the things that need to be done, even though we might not know what they are specifically to be done. But there is still a lot of things going on. And the later it gets in the day, if he's able to pull this off, and if God allows him to become president again or get reelected, the backlash is going to be unbelievable. And so we need to be preparing in those ways too, realizing some of the things we've talked about before, being having 2 months of food and supplies and medicines and being ready to defend your families if necessary. Those are just wise things to be doing because we live in very uncertain times. Regardless of how this election turns out, there's just so much uncertainty and frailty in the world systems that we have allowed to be been created and propped up by man. And so it's that's a wise thing to do anyway. But again, don't give up. There's still lots of things going on with the results in the election. The second thing we wanted to talk about briefly is the COVID relief bill. And I was so grateful that Trump vetoed that and has asked them to redo it in a way that actually provides COVID relief. Wouldn't that be unique to have a bill that was titled COVID relief and it actually did that instead of sending 700 billion of the 900 billion, this huge bill, 700 billion was going to pet liberal projects and countries and things that have nothing to do with COVID relief, nothing to do with helping the American people, nothing to do with helping small business. Only 198 billion of it was going to be coming to the American people to help them in this crisis. And it's just hard to believe, but almost all the Republicans voted for it anyway. And that tells us a lot that we've already kind of been figuring out, but and we're going to find out more on January 6th. I think we're going to find how few of them actually stand up for us, which lets us know they need to be removed from office. In 2022, we need to remove almost every single Republican congressman and every U.S. senator, only maybe five or six that I know of that are good at all out of 535 members of Congress. So we need to work to remove them and get good people in there because they've been lying to us now for decades, talking conservative but acting liberal. Talking patriotic, but being anti-American in what they are doing. And we need to say, no, thank you, and expose them and stand against them. And so that'll be more things we can do in the future to make a difference. But the COVID bill was just amazing. Typical government, big government, wasting our money on meaningless things that aren't doing what they were supposed to do. And are doing many things that we wouldn't want them to do. That's how little they think of us. They will hide in this bill that has a name that sounds reasonable to us. Oh, COVID relief. Okay, yeah, if that's going to help small business and families that are really suffering, I guess we might be able to go for that. But of course, it wasn't about that. It was about wasting our money and then paying off all the liberal groups and people and countries. And propping them up longer and their dictatorships and their corruption. And but we had a president that said, I'm not doing this. And so we should be thankful.
We've received several questions from different individuals who are wondering about the stock market. I know you referred to that last week, and obviously we are not financial advisors, so you do your own research. But wondering if it's going to be crashing soon, and wondering what strategic action they should be taking. Any thoughts that you have?
Yes. Yeah, again, we're not financial advisors, so we're not giving you advice. I'm just telling you my opinion, and you can take it or you can leave it. But from all indicators, and many top professional people that are financial advisors, like Harry Dent and others that use demography to project future declines and things like that, it looks like we are overdue. And I think that makes sense even to the common person. Like myself, I look at it and I go, why is the stock market at the highest it's ever been when we have been shut down as a country this year? That doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. The PE ratios, the price earning ratios of things, if you look at those just 20, 30 years ago, the price earning ratios were usually, 1 to 8, 1 to 12, 1 to 13, maybe 1 to 15 or 15 to 1 at the most. And now, so many of them are 30s, 40s, 50, 100 to 1. And what that means, those ratios, if it's 100 to 1, for instance, that means if you had enough money to buy that entire company with the amount it earns each year, it would take you 100 years to get that capital back that you put into buying the company. That's 1% a year you'd be getting. That's not a good investment. When it takes you 100 years to get back your initial investment, that's not a good investment. But that's what most of the stocks are at now. So it's just been hyperly inflated, and I think is due by demographics, but also just the hype to have a major correction here in the near future. I think if Biden takes over, it will be rapidly because people will realize we're going to have more lockdowns, we're going to have more regulation, we're going to have higher taxes, and that's going to take the wind out of the sails of this artificial high, and it's going to go down. And I think when it starts going, it's going fast. So my opinion is, just like the old saying from World War II, better 7 years early than 7 minutes late. And what that was talking about is during World War II, some people in Germany, they were warned. In fact, like some people in my own family, they were there, and people came in the front door of their house. They were Jews, and said, "Leave now." And the kids ran out the back door, but the adults went upstairs to grab some of their valuables, and they weren't able to make it out. And they were captured, and they were all executed in the concentration camps of Germany. That's from our own family that happened. And the kids got out and were able to get into Europe and then get to America. And so in that scenario, people that had been leaving Germany before that, people would go, "Why are you leaving? Everything's fine still." But they had seen, "Nah, things don't look right." And so it was better for them to have left maybe 7 years early than to wait and be 7 minutes late. And the same thing with the stock market crash. Once it crashes, 7 minutes later to go, "Oh, I ought to get out of stocks," it's too late then. So a word to the wise, do what you think is best, but I would be looking into that. And what to get into, I'm not even sure. Maybe just get out of that where your money is just in cash sitting there. And then if the stock market takes a huge hit, if you want to, you can buy back in then and you'll have way more shares for the same amount of money. Or you can do other things. And gold and silver, there's different things to do, but I'm not positive about what's the best to do. I just think what's the best not to do is probably not be in the stock market right now for a while here. Just seeing, maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am. But by June, if it hasn't taken a major correction, then maybe the predictions were wrong or whatever. But there's many signs to lead us to believe trouble is coming. There's dark clouds over Wall Street, and a wise person will go, I better get out my umbrella and protect myself from what's coming. And so that's what we encourage you to do. But we received several emails on that, people concerned. Again, if you get out and nothing happens, you can always get right back in. But you can't get out after the fact, and that was our main point there we were wanting to make.
Curtis, there was something else significant that happened recently. The statue of Robert E. Lee was removed from the US Capitol. What do we need to know, and why is that so significant?
Yeah, I saw that, and it kind of sobered me. When you start removing your history, you start changing the past. You start doing that, it's a sign you are collapsing. Here's the reality. Even if he was an evil person, which he was not, Abraham Lincoln picked Robert E. Lee to lead the Northern troops against the South. And Robert E. Lee declined because he said, "You will be fighting the people of Virginia, which are my people." He goes, "I'm a Virginian first and an American second." They had such loyalty to their states back then, which we should have as well. But he was respected by both sides because he was a man of incredible character. And his statue was put in the Capitol after the Civil War because everyone wanted to remember a great general in American history. And the fact that now it's being removed is just, it's so sobering to me. I just read that. I read a lot of this stuff that's not great news all the time, and it hit me so hard. How can you do that? For some little town or something to do, it's one thing, but that's our building. The Capitol building's our building. That's our Capitol. Here's one other thought on that's important. You never want to remove your history, even if it is bad. You never want to remove it. Why? Because you want to have it be there so you remember, oh, we don't want to go that way again. We don't want to have that happen again. In Germany, it's the perfect example. The Holocaust. Well, did they immediately, when the war was over, oh, get rid of all those places, Auschwitz and everything? No, they're still open today. Their horrible history. They want to remember that history so they never go there again. So even if you have a bad history, even for America to remember we had slaves, that's not bad. Because we look at that and go, yeah, that wasn't good. But I'm so thankful we're not doing that anymore. And those monuments and those things that will remind us, we never want to do that again either. You never want to erase history, regardless of if it was good history, bad history, because all history is what you learn from to prepare yourself for the future and to make decisions today. And so, but to see someone remove that Abraham Lincoln thought was the most honorable man in America shows how far it has gone, how fringe we have become, how out of control our society is to erase and destroy itself without thinking. How did our congressmen and senators allow that to happen? What some little fringe group pressured them and they said, okay, we'll do it. It shows what pathetic people we have leading us, what just how sissified our culture has become, where everyone's scared of their own shadow. We've got to say no. We've got to raise our kids to have courage and to stand for what is right and to say no thank you when they should say no thank you, when bad ideas are presented and things. And this was just, it was shocking to me, and it made me sick to my stomach, because I know where we'll end if we continue to erase our history and remove people from our history that we don't like who they were. And so, Joshua, it's just, it's a huge, huge thing. But we're being hit by it with so many huge things today, it's easy to go, oh, what do we do? And that's intentional too. They want to overwhelm us. But Joshua, people listen to this. Joshua's going to read a quote from the book 1984 by George Orwell that talks about the future that we're heading into now with the Great Reset and the Build Back Better movement and all of that. But Joshua, read that quote and let and people think about this.
Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right.
Boy, isn't that exactly today? The party is always right. You cannot argue with them. You cannot question them. You cannot stand against them, or they will destroy you. Well, that's what they say. And that's what they want us to believe. But when we stand unified, they're not powerful enough to destroy us. And that's why we have to remember that. We have to stand, because a lot of their power really is just the illusion of power. And they hope that's why political correctness is so powerful, because they know if we can make people scared to talk and say the things they believe in because we've made them off limits, just like George Orwell's 1984, then we will control the people, because they'll be so fearful of a backlash by the snowflakes and the woke movement and all these ignorant, foolish people that don't have a clue about reality, then they know they will have won. I mean, the game is this: division on everything. They do not want us to be unified on anything at all, not one thing, even though we're so unified on so many things, but we would never know it because they've gotten us to just fixate on how we're different. Even all the racist stuff today, they're getting us to just fixate on the color of our skin. That's all that matters. Well, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "My dream is that my children will grow up in a world where they're not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And we're doing the exact opposite of that. All we're judging by is your skin. Let me see your skin. That's all that matters. Biden is picking his entire cabinet based on the color of their skin, with that being the only standard. So we're doing the exact opposite of what their hero, Martin Luther King Jr., recommended. Instead of creating a country that admires character qualities, admires virtue, admires people that can do things well, instead, nope, just skin color. And it's a disgrace to our country. It will end in collapse. As we go into these Christmas stories now that I hope are an absolute encouragement to you, they go well with what I just said. This first story, and maybe you haven't heard it, and if you have, it's worth hearing again, is from World War I, and it was called the Christmas Day Truce. And during World War I, on Christmas Day, because that was such a holiday that was respected on all sides of the war, the birth of our Savior, that they had a Christmas truce. They said no fighting is to be done in the world on Christmas Day. And so this video I'm going to show you here is a commercial a company did to sell their chocolate bars, but it accurately recounts the story of that Christmas day and what happened. And I want you to watch it, and then we'll talk about it at the end. But it reminded me of how much, even in World War I, how much the Americans and the British and even the German soldiers had in common of celebrating Christmas together. It was the elites that had forced them into the foxholes, forced them into killing each other off, forced them into be only seeing what they're divided on instead of what they're similar on. And anyway, watch this and we'll talk about it in a minute, but it's one of the sweet stories of Christmas in 1914.
Jenkins. Oakley.
Knight.
Jim?
Jim! No, don't do it!
Halt!
Es nicht bewaffnet!
Nein, Otto!
Jim!
My name is Jim.
Mein Name ist Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
I'm schön.
I don't know if you've seen that before or heard that story, but the sweetness of those troops together singing Silent Night, realizing they had so much in common, and then to come out and play a soccer game the next day and exchange gifts and to be kind to each other and enjoy each other's company, not then only to return the next day to killing each other off because of the vile, wicked governments, the big governments that want to control and power of people to destroy that. I just saw that and I go, there would not have been any wars hardly at all in world history if it wasn't for the elites, it wasn't for the evil people that manipulate things because they want more power and control. The common person would almost always work out a settlement to any areas that they didn't agree on because they don't want to die. They're the ones that have to die. Just in World War I and World War II, both of those wars so created by evil dictators and globalists and the elites, if you study all the money behind the scenes that was doing everything, 125 million people died in World War I and World War II. And about half of them were the sweet boys of the world. The sweet German boys, the sweet American boys, British boys. They were simply doing what their countries asked them to do. War is a horrible thing, and we have allowed people to sway us into going to war over so many meaningless issues over time. So many of our sweet boys and the sweet boys of the world have died fighting for nonsense, fighting for one dictator to have more power and control, fighting to take dominion over other people and to control them as slaves. It makes me sick. And I love that story because it's such a sweet story of hope. We have so much in common. We need to work together on the things that do matter and agree to disagree on many of the issues. But I don't know if you noticed the music playing while they were playing the soccer game was the hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And some of the words to that go, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then it just says, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, of course, of Jesus. And that's why we have to stand against big government, because big government has zero value on human life. And when we seek freedom and liberty in Christ through biblical principles like America did, where every human has tremendous value because they're made in the image of God, then you have true liberty and you can focus on the areas that you have in common and you can love your enemies and your neighbors. And it's such a different world it creates. And the next story I wanted to share with you is one of my favorites in the last 100 years, and most people have never heard of it. It's the Romanian Revolution of Christmas of 1989. And it's a really amazing story that should be encouraging to you, because these Romanian people, they had no weapons, they had no power, they had no influence, but they had the courage to stand for what is right. And then God, in his power, crushed a totalitarian regime that had been over them for decades. And here's the story as it goes. In December of 1989, Ceausescu had given the orders for a pastor, a Baptist minister, to be evicted from his home and the church to be bulldozed, because this Baptist pastor had been preaching against the communist regime and against their enslavement of the people and not having the freedom to worship God and to follow God and to do what is right. And he had become so popular with the people that the communists said, we got to kick him out of his apartment, and trying to get him to be left out in the cold and starve to death. They removed his food cards from him so he had no food to eat. But the people at his church heard about it. And when they came to evict him, they went out and stood around the church singing hymns. And as other people heard what was going on, they started coming and coming. And between December 16th through December 25th, the crowds kept growing and more people were there, making a barricade all around the house and the church property so that they couldn't get to him. And finally, they brought water cannons to blast at the people to get them to move. And the people, there were so many there, then thousands started to show up. They tore apart the water cannons and threw the pieces out. And so then Ceausescu said, okay, enough is enough. Kill them. And he sent his troops in. They first started shooting at the legs of people, and they started shooting their legs, and thousands were injured. But the people wouldn't leave because they knew they were standing for what is right. Then he had them start shooting in their chest and then finally their heads. Over 1,000 of those sweet people died standing for what is right, but the people still wouldn't back down. They still wouldn't give up because they knew it was the side of right they were on. And it's amazing how it all unfolded. But those sweet people kept standing, kept fighting, and finally God convicted the hearts of the communist soldiers and they stopped shooting the Christians. And they turned and they realized, no, Ceausescu is our enemy. We're going after him. And they went back to the presidential palace and they grabbed Ceausescu and his wife. And they had a trial of them for all their crimes against humanity and war crimes. And on Christmas morning of 1989, they were executed and the people of Romania were free. And one of the headlines of the paper said, "The Antichrist is dead and Jesus is born." And I love that story because it's amazing to see what those people were willing to stand, even though they didn't have weapons, for freedom. I told that story down in Florida, and an old man came up to me and said, "I was in prison in Romania, Christmas of 1989. And I said, "You were? What for?" He said, "I was in prison for being a Christian. They threw us in prison all the time and abused us just so that we'd know who the boss is." And I said, "Well, how did you find out what happened?" He said, "Well, on Christmas Day, we were in our cells and the propaganda station that normally had been going, spewing communist propaganda 24 hours a day, it stopped. And it was silent for a while. And then he said, a voice came over the airwaves reading Luke chapter 2 out of the Bible, the Christmas story. And it's so sweet that there's always hope, is the reason I tell you that story. There's always hope. These people were under communism for 40 plus years, but they finally had enough courage to stand for the truth. And God saw that courage. Yes, there was a great price to be paid, but then he, in 24 hours time, took his fist and crushed the communist dictatorship. The papers were proclaiming the birth of Christ and the Bible was being read over the radio stations. And I just, to me, that's one of the most encouraging stories that there is, because it shows, again, God is God, and God can destroy evil anytime he wants. And through history, we see he's more likely to do that when his people are standing with courage for the truth. I'm going to play you a little clip from the people out there. Finally, by December 24th, there was over 200,000 people out there. And listen to this clip, and I'll explain it to you. But it's so sweet to hear the rally. And the people were chanting, "There is God. There is God." See, communism says there's no God. We are God. Ceausescu said he is God. And these people are like, no, there is a God, which means there are things worth dying for. And that's why they wouldn't leave when they were being shot. But listen to this. This is some of the actual audio from that event.
"I ask to have religious freedom, to worship Lord without fear. Communist regime has taken God from the souls of the people. There is God. There is God. Everybody is shouting, there is God.
Hopefully you could hear that, and it was clear enough to hear. And he went on right after to say this. He said, "They've thrown God out of our mind, out of our souls, out of history, out of society, and out of our schools." And then the people started chanting, "God is with us. God is with us." And I listened to it. I go, that's exactly what they've done in America. They've thrown God out of our mind. They've tried to. Our souls and the souls of our children. Our history. We're erasing our history. Our society and our schools. That's already happened in America 50 years ago. Well, let me tell you, it just hit me when I was hearing that. That's what communism is. And it always arrives at communism. When you throw God out of your society, out of your people, out of your schools, you will have communism. Communism is simply this, the absence of God in our institutions, in the people, and in society. And that's where we are heading if we continue down the road we're on, where we allow these evil, vile, wretched people leading our country, like the Nancy Pelosi's and the AOC's and so many on our side as well, to continue us down that road. of compromise with evil and rejection of God and his principles, the only reason America was great, the only reason America was free, the only thing that will make America be great in the future is if we bring God back into our minds, our souls, our history, our society, and our schools, period. And if you're not a Christian watching this, you're a conservative and don't understand that, that's all it is. The reason the conservative principles that you hold so dear, the reason those are true is because they're biblical principles. That's what I want you to understand. In this time of year when we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, why would we celebrate that if he was another good man that had been born in the world to say good things and then eventually to die and be gone? We wouldn't. We wouldn't have our calendar based on his birth if that's all he was. He was the Son of God, who then came and was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life so we could say, see, oh, he is different. Even his worst enemies had nothing bad to say about him. They just said, we have to kill him because he's making us look bad. Listen to me, please. Just keep listening here for a second. He knew we were logical creatures because we were made in his image. He knew we needed evidence to know if he was worth putting our faith in or not. He knew that because we are logical and we want facts and we want evidence. And that's why of all the religions of the world, all of them, there's only one religion that even claims to have had the God of that religion come to earth himself. And not just that, but then prove he was God by doing miracles, things that no man can do, raising the dead, healing the blind, and doing things that go, oh, okay. But then he wanted us to know the ultimate thing we could ever know. Is this guy worth following and trusting my soul with? Is he worth that? And so then he allowed men that he made to kill him and torture him on a cross, so that we would see the greatest thing we needed to see, one that he had paid the penalty for our sins by his death, a perfect sacrifice, his death on the cross to wipe away our sins. And we all have sins. You know, you who are listening have sins. You've done things that are wrong. I've done thousands of things that are wrong, and I deserve punishment. Any just court, any just judge, and any just God has to mete out consequences when you break the law. And we've all broken God's law in the Ten Commandments. But he came and he died so that penalty could be wiped away. But then he rose again on the third day. That's Easter. That's what we celebrate there. But he did that for us so we would know he has victory over death. Do you understand how significant that is? We don't have to fear if Biden comes to power, the communists roll in, China troops come in through Canada, we're all in slave labor camps. I still have tremendous hope because I know who holds the future in his hand. I know on the day I die, I will be with him forever, not because I deserve to, I do not, but because I confess to him the reality that I knew and everybody knew I'm a sinner. I've broken his laws. I'm guilty. And I deserve punishment for that because he is a holy God that cannot allow sin into his presence. He can't allow it. But he was so loving that he said, I want to pay the penalty for them so they don't have to go to hell and pay the penalty. I want to pay them. I am going down to show them who I am, to show them how much I love them, and then to pay that penalty. So all they need to do is put their trust in me. And if you have ever said, God, I ask you to forgive me for my sins, and I know you died on the cross for me, and I accept what you did on the cross, and I believe you rose again from the dead. I'm trusting in you to save me, because I realize now I cannot save myself. If you've done that, you are born again, and you know you're born again, because he starts working in your life, slowly perfecting you, slowly making you more sensitive to sin and things you do that you shouldn't do, and making you so different. You're still not perfect because we're on this earth, but I look back when he saved me and changed my life and I go, I'm so different today than I was then. And I just encourage those of you that maybe aren't Christians. You believe in God. You believe, oh yeah, I know there is a Jesus. That's good, but that doesn't save you. You have to specifically ask him to save you from your sins and accepted what he did on that cross with the belief, no, I know he died for me and I'm accepting that. And then thanking him for doing that for you. And I'm telling you, once that's happened, you have total hope. How could those Romanian people stand out there and chant, there is God, as the troops were shooting them down? Because they knew, I might die on this earth, but I have heaven forever because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross to save me. It's the greatest hope on this earth that we can have. It's the greatest thing we can carry with us to give us real courage when we really need it, because we know this life is simply a vapor. It's going to be over like this if I'm living free or if I'm living in slavery. And then I will stand before a holy God and have to give an account of my life. When he says to me, why should I let you into heaven? I will say, because your son covered my sins with his blood on the cross. And he will let me into heaven because I will look to him as if I'm as pure and clean and holy as his precious son. So I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Don't be fearful, be prayerful, be thankful for all your many blessings, even with what's going on. Read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2 to your family and talk about a Savior that came to save the world from their sins. I'm so thankful for you this Christmas season. And I know 2021 will be a great year to stand for the truth, to stand for what is right, to share the good news of the gospel with those around us as they become more and more concerned about what's going on. You can't lose as a Christian. That's what's wonderful. If things go down into tyranny, then we have a light that will shine so bright in our testimony, and the gospel will be so well received because people will realize we're in trouble. I need hope, and we'll be able to tell them the hope. And things go good, if it goes good into freedom and liberty and repentance and revival in this country, then we're grateful that we're free to be able to use our talents and abilities to serve God. It's a win-win situation when you're a Christian. But thank you. God bless you. And Merry Christmas.